Initiative two is an initiative that addresses temporal dynamics of the brain. And this initiative was designed to really act opportunistically on many of the strengths of our center. So we've put a lot of resources into this, and we have two different strands that are funded at this point. The first, looking at general properties of neurons and neuronal ensembles. So what aspects of neuronal ensembles are important for learning? How are ensemble dynamics generated by interactions between neurons? How do natural spike trains drive plasticity via spike timing-dependent plasticity rules? And the second looks more at what are the temporal dynamics of brain systems and the interactions between different brain systems, and how do they constrain learning and memory? And Isabel Gauthier will talk to you about this strand two projects. So basically, within the brain dynamics, we think about the brain as a giant oscillator. So basically, the brain is capable of oscillating at both slow and fast time scales, and coordinated oscillatory activity may very well be organizing activity between structures and within a structure. So there are multiple levels of analysis contained within strand one, from the level of spike time dependent plasticity to cortical EEG. Here, it's very important to note that even though in many experiments these are looked at as independent issues, these are really nested time scales where spike time dependent plasticity will play into synapse formation or depression, and what input neurons are getting is going to play into what external events they spike to, which is going to play into setting the local field potentials, and ultimately these will create what we see in humans during behavior as the cortical EEG. And much of the human work within our strands actually focuses at the cortical level, but it's important to remember that we have multiple systems, both subcortical and cortical, tuning each other across time, and that there are temporal trade-offs between systems such that there's this constant dance, if you will, between subcortical and cortical structures in mediating behavior at any particular point in time. It's also important to realize, if we sort of zoom out of the behavioral systems level and now focus at the stimulus level, which is the level at which a lot of the experiments are actually pitched, that various issues regarding the timing of stimulus presentation, the timing of feedback, and the timing of testing will play into the efficacy and speed and also retention issues within learning and memory. So you can design experiments, as Hal Pashler and his group and other groups have, where you give feedback at different points of time, where timing of learning episodes may be spaced out or repeated in different patterns, and where the retention interval is different relative to testing. And each of those dynamics are going to affect actually how long we remember things, how rapidly we learn things, and will play into which brain structures mediate learning and memory at any point in time as well. So within strand one, right now, and I should have updated this slide actually, because one is recessed in a lighter color, but now we have actually four funded projects. Project 2.1.4 was a development project, but it's now, as soon as any of us are fully funded, a fully funded project. And these, as you can tell, sample various levels of analysis within the brain, from the point of spike timing with the Pu and Dan project, up to EEG dynamics. And so it will be very important for us to try to integrate both the levels of analysis within the brain and those levels of analysis to behavior itself. Since there are four projects and multiple projects within the strand, I'm going to go through just one example of April Benesich, from April Benesich's lab, looking at EEG as a predictor of cognitive function. So here, April went ahead and looked at correlated activity in neuronal populations as EEG oscillations in infants. And what she did was look at spectral analyses of control children, who are in blue, and children who, based on family history of specific language impairment, are at risk for developing specific language impairment. And these are just resting EEG power spectral analyses. And if you look at, by 36 months, you see the red actually dropping beneath, indicating that there's less power in the beta to gamma frequency in these children by the age of 36 months who are at risk for specific language impairment. Now, the interesting part here is that higher gamma power is actually associated, highly correlated, with better performance on aspects of language and cognition. So it turns out that simple resting EEG power at particular frequencies of oscillatory activity may be good predictors of performance on language and aspects of memory and attention. And so these sorts of things may be very interesting because you can actually intervene at a very early point. And so I just want to showcase that one study as an example of the importance of temporal aspects of the brain and how they relate ultimately to cognitive properties. From here, we'll switch to strand 2.2, which gets into temporal dynamics of brain systems and interactions between the brain systems and how they constrain learning and memory. And Isabelle Gauthier is going to tell us more about this particular strand. Did you want to come up now? Okay, so there's several projects in here. There are just a few listed, from neurogenesis to cell assemblies and recall. I think some of you saw some of the nice posters from Yuri's lab, and going through Clark and Squire's studies looking at both rodents and humans, and Pashler and Moser, who have actually taken their studies into the Preuss School, April Benesich, who's got another development project in this strand, and then all the perceptual expertise studies that Isabel's going to tell you more about.